You are listening to KBOO Portland. It's a minute after 10. Coming up in just a minute, we'll have an interview with David Ray Griffin on the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. Listening to People Rise Up on your community radio station, KBOO. This is our spring pledge drive, and the more you guys keep the phones ringing during the program, the less we have to interrupt to try and get you to call. So I'll give the numbers once real quick, 503-232-8818, and toll free 877-500-5266. A $75 pledge gets you a copy of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. My guest this morning is David Ray Griffin, author of said book, as well as The New Pearl Harbor, which I believe is when he last joined us on KBOO. So welcome back to our airwaves, David.
Hi, Andrew. Good to be back with you.
Well, I'm very pleased that you were able to make it. And this book actually was, I got my copy late last fall. It's actually a new book for 2005, and I really wanted to try and get it into our fall pledge drive last year, but only doing two shows, I wasn't able to get to this book, so I'm really glad we can get to it first week of spring 2005. Now, there's so much to talk about in this book that we're not going to even begin to really get into a lot of things in any detail, and I'm interested in talking about more things a little bit less detailed, so we can just give people a broad sweep of what's wrong with the 9/11 Commission report and process. Initially, why don't we talk about something I mentioned in the previous hour, which is hot in the news right now, and that's the issue of the Federal Bureau of Investigation helping Saudis, including members of the bin Laden family, leave the United States in the days immediately following September 11th. How big a revelation is this new information, given that it's been a little bit in the media for a little while?
Yeah, it's really not very new in the sense that the basic facts have been available for at least a year, but what is new is that a mainline publication finally picked it up and reported it and pointed out explicitly that the 9/11 Commission had given a thumbs up for the FBI and for the White House and said that nothing irregular happened. And now we learn that, yes, it did, and the 9/11 Commission was wrong. So it's very important that, at least on one major part of the 9/11 Commission report, the New York Times has now reported that it was wrong.
Seems like there's a lot of that going on. Papers apologizing for not quite doing a proper job of coverage. So again, just a real quick example of, something they just missed. Hard to say.
Yeah, this paper they cite from the Judicial Watch, Craig Unger had reported on this about a year ago, and he first broke this story in his book, House of Bush, House of Saud, and reported that two kinds of irregularities had occurred. First, there had been flights within the United States, private flights carrying Saudis, that were flying before private flights were otherwise allowed to fly. So the implication was that some Saudis had gotten special permission from the White House to fly their people around the country. The second part is the flights out of the country of Saudis, including bin Laden family members, who had not been thoroughly investigated. And the story in the New York Times picks up that part and confirms that what Michael Moore then said in his movie, which popularized Craig Unger's views, was right. The New York Times did not pick up the other part of the story, which was that this flight had occurred from Tampa to Lexington prior to the time. Now, the 9/11 Commission report tried to whitewash it by saying, well, that flight occurred on the afternoon of September 13th, and at that time, U.S. airspace had already been opened at 11 o'clock that morning. They deliberately blurred the issue because Craig Unger had explicitly pointed out that 11 o'clock, U.S. airspace was open to commercial flights, but not to private flights, and had sent out a special notice saying any private flights will be forced down.
And in fact, there were several private flights that were forced down, but sometime between the 13th and when were private flights okay again? Is it the 15th, the 16th?
Well, I think
it's a couple days later.
Yeah, it was certainly not 11 o'clock on the 13th.
Right.
In any case, so. Here again, Craig Unger and Michael Moore were proved right, even though after the movie came out, so many defenders of the administration jumped on this and said this is just obviously false, and the 9/11 Commission had said it was false.
Now, let's back up just a moment and provide some foundation for the discussion of your book. The 9/11 Commission was mandated by Congress, quote, to provide the fullest possible account of the events surrounding 9/11. The Bush administration went to great lengths to try and convince people that the commission was also nonpartisan, because there were Republicans and Democrats. It was independent, because it supposedly was not controlled by the executive office. It was impartial, and it was thorough. Can you just briefly address each of those as you view their report?
Well, the idea that it was impartial is certainly a complete falsification, because the first of all, the chairman is a Republican, Thomas Kane. Now, he's generally considered as fairly moderate Republican. So that was seen okay, and he was supposedly balanced by Lee Hamilton, the vice chairman. But nevertheless, the chairman was Republican, but much more importantly, the executive director was Philip Zelikow. Now, we know that in the first place, the president, when he finally grudgingly had to appoint such a commission, tried to make Henry Kissinger the chair, and there were howls of outrage about that, and because of all sorts of things, and Kissinger finally resigned rather than reveal his clients, because many people had alleged he had clients that would create a great conflict of interest, that is, clients who were involved in the oil business in Afghanistan. And so Thomas Kane was then selected. We don't know if he was selected on the condition that he would appoint Philip Zelikow, but one can suspect that. Now, the reason Zelikow is so important, and I call it the Kane-Zelikow report, is that Zelikow directed, he was the executive director, and so he was in charge of the staff, and it was the staff, about 80 people, who did all the work, not the commissioners you saw on TV. They just took the results of what the staff had come up with. So Zelikow was in position to determine which leads would be investigated and which ones would not. He was also in position to determine, largely at least, what would go in the final report and what would not. Now, why is this so important? Because Philip Zelikow is virtually a member of the Bush administration. He had been a member of the first Bush administration on the National Security Council with Condoleezza Rice. they became friends, and so during the intervening, during the Clinton years then, they wrote a book together. Then when Bush, too, was elected and appointed Rice his national security advisor, she brought Zelikow on to help with the transition. And then finally he was appointed by Bush to the his Foreign Intelligence Board.
Well,
and it was almost as if Dick Cheney were in charge of the 9/11 commission that was supposed to be investigating how the White House ran, responded to 9/11.
Well, and not only was Philip Zelikow part of the Bush transition team in 2001, he worked on intelligence matters. And I think it's also important to note that since Condoleezza Rice has been appointed Secretary of State, she has now given Philip Zelikow a job as her counsel.
That's right. So the whole idea that this was some sort of non-partial, impartial, independent commission is just is really ridiculous. And as I point out in the book, that's not just a formal complaint, but when you look at the last chapter of the book and the conclusions where I go through and show the implications of this and how he was able to skew things. And furthermore, the other members of the commission, at least half of the staff, were formerly members of the FBI or the Department of Justice or the CIA and other agencies that were supposedly being investigated. Some of these were people who were on duty during the very period that we were supposed to be investigating. So the idea that they were neutral is also not a plausible claim.